And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
If you're in business, you probably have a website. But can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pear.com.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, which I'm excited to say we are now airing 5 days a week. Once a week, you can still hear an interview with a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness across Spaceship Earth. But now, also, in addition to the weekly interview, on the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics we deem worthy of discussion. All right, all you positive heads, welcome to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Beecham. I have my co-host, Dalian Villalobos, here with me. Hello, Dalian Villalobos.
Oh, living the dream, living the dream.
Ah, another day in paradise, as indeed. I like to say.
Here at the Positive Head Podcast.
Another day floating on a rock that is hurtling, not floating and hurtling through an infinite cosmos in a timeless ocean of possibility. Just chilling out in eternity. No big deal, right? I mean...
Or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, no something. That's it. You're in eternity. We're just chilling out. We've got, let's see, eternity ahead of us, eternity behind us. What will we do?
Eternity in this universe and a whole bunch of others, apparently.
Yeah. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay. We already blew like 8 minds, so including our own. So we better stop before this podcast comes to a very abrupt halt because I'm just laid out flopping like a fish, confused and overblown. let's see here. What do we got for you folks today? We have all kinds of goodness is the answer, the short answer. Let's see. I had Dalian. I had the privilege, honor of waking up today and seeing a review on iTunes. Pretty much my most exciting thing to do is to wake up and get an email or a review on iTunes. It, as I always say, makes my day, makes my week, definitely helps fuel the fire for this labor of love. So we'll start off with a wonderful, wonderful review by it's titled 5-star gourmet cuisine for the soul. And it's by Avery Positive Seeker 79. And the review states, I recently stumbled across this podcast quite by accident while searching for content from other spiritual and self-help teachers such as Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Les Brown, Bob Proctor, and others I was more familiar with. I am so glad I did. I find Brandon and Dalian to be very intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually stimulating and grounding at the same time. Their honest approach as students of life resonates with me fully. I have struggled to manage my anger and negative emotion for years now. I discovered the principles of the universal laws that govern all things in our lives, law of attraction being the most well-known, a couple years ago, and have a firm grasp on them intellectually. The challenge I have faced is getting them to click in my life and trying to make sense as to why they didn't seem to work for me. I think the most important lesson that I take away from this show, and there are many good ones, is that much like our bodies, our souls need to be fed daily in order to remind ourselves of the lessons that we must learn in order to move forward in our journeys. We must nourish ourselves with food daily to keep our physical energy up. And the same can be said about our souls. Whenever I'm having a rough day personally, I pop in my earbuds and turn on this podcast to get an energetic boost. I can literally feel an instant difference because I feel the loving intention that they send out across the airwaves as a very palatable energy. Those that listen to this podcast realize that there are no accidents, only universal synchronicity. So I'm glad that I was tuned into the right frequency the day I found this show. Thanks for all you do, Brandon and Dalian, as well as Anna and all of your guests. Keep up the amazing work. And here's to changing the world one listener at a time. I mean, once again, I got to pinch myself when I wake up to feedback from, you know, this labor of love doing this podcast and get that kind of feedback. It just gives me chills. It makes me feel so, you know, just proud to be alive, proud to be playing even a small role in someone's life. And so once again, thank you, Avery Positive Seeker 79, for completing that circle. That's exactly what you're doing. It's all reflections here. This love that you've now shined back on us, it's just this never-ending loop of goodness. The more you give, the more we create. It's the only thing that you can give away. Love is the only thing that you can give away and create more of it in the process. And that's exactly what you've done here. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to write that very thoughtful review for us. It means the world.
Definitely. Yeah, it's hard to still not think of myself and us and even our listeners as part of a like-minded family that is thankfully growing, Brandon. And I'm very encouraged, of course, to see every day signs that the human race is waking up collectively. Yeah. I think that we really are in a big way now. But the fact, I think, remains that the majority of people are still asleep.
Yeah.
And so if you look around you, you will see that people still get so bent out of shape over petty things. And even more important things just cause us to, you know, abandon our principles, to, you know, turn on one another in just awful ways. So, you know, when we get an awesome review, not only does it fuel us, but, you know, again, it serves that sort of circular, you know, process of feeding each other, you know, us feeding our audience with positive thoughts and ideas and them, you know, sort of, you know, reciprocating really.
Right.
Because in a sense, we're reassuring ourselves that we're not crazy in a world that really is, you know, because there's so many people out there that are still asleep. So every little bit of encouragement in the whole, you know, coming together and waking up is really, you know, you can't take anything for granted, really.
Right. And, you know, as this person, you know, as Avery pointed out here, is we're students first and foremost, and any teaching is secondary. And we're very aware of that. Anyone who thinks they've got it all figured out, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And we are just humble servants because that's all there is to do is serve. When you realize the oneness of all things, there is no other thing that is going to fulfill you like serving. And then your job becomes figuring out how do you serve? This is exactly in line with how we're meant to serve, which is why we're doing it. We found our spot, you know, one of our spots. It doesn't mean it's our only spot. There's lots of things that I can do or you can do. And same with all you out there listening. So get in tune with yourself internally and find your spot, your spot of service. And all of your joy is going to stem from that. You're going to find all of your joy. It lies there. Stop. Just put down the search and the job or the relationship or any of those things. Doesn't mean you can't get joy from those things, but the most of your joy is going to come from that service that you're meant to do to help lift up your fellow brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. It once again, Brandon, reminds me of conversations with God. Because that was where I was many years ago introduced to this idea of service that more and more people are embracing now. This idea that service can be this deeply spiritual and sort of even meditative thing that puts you in touch with it all. And it certainly puts you in touch with a deeper connection with your fellow humans. I think that the idea that one of the books put forth was that essentially life serves and services all. That life exists to serve. Essentially, because it just seeks to thrive. And in a way, you could say that life's, you know, drive to thrive is serving that need. So, yep. So it seeks to empower all living creatures to thrive. And so that's how it serves them.
Yeah. And once you can understand that that's the general direction in which you need to be looking, it kind of narrows down the playing field a lot, right? and what you should be doing. So, for those of you out there that are really kind of maybe somewhat lost still in what is my life purpose, what is my path? First off, you have one, and you actually have one that no one is better suited for that position than you, which is why your soul is going to be that thing. No one is more suited to do the Positive Head podcast out of all the beings on planet Earth than Dalian and I and those that are joining in. They're the ones that are the perfectly suited people for this particular little humble job, right? Well, it may grow into something great. It may be just those of you listening now. It's a raging success this moment. And that's what you've got to, look at with anything that you're doing in your own lives. If you're helping and serving one other person and making their day a little better, a little brighter, you are a success. And you need to be very, very grateful, appreciative, and proud of that fact. And that will only breed more success and more abundance. And it just continues that, connection, that loop, it's going to come back again and again and again. And this is how you play the game. This is how you navigate this reality in a way that is truly fulfilling. So we got other things to talk about, so we better move right along. Avery's got me so excited. So
that was a fantastic review. Yes, it was.
Yes, indeed. Any of you out there, please, if you feel so inclined, leave us a review on iTunes. Drop us an email through the website. Drop us a voicemail through the website on the podcast page. You can record a voicemail right through your computer microphone. Or also questions. We love getting questions to answer on the show and address as well. That certainly gets us excited. So keep all those things in mind. Thank you. Let's see. What do we got, Dalian, in way of a positive story of the day?
This is today's positive / mysterious story because it's just remarkable.
It's both, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Sometimes we say positive story to the day. Sometimes we say mysterious, depending on kind of the content. In this case, it walks the fine line right between both.
Exactly. And we decided that we just needed to talk about this today. I said, hey, Brandon, we absolutely have to bring this up. Because it's something that we shared on our Facebook feed last night. And if people go to our the Positive Head Facebook page, they'll see it. But it's a video by a remarkable young man, Ben Underwood, who suffered from eye cancer, retinal cancer, at the age of 2.
Wow.
And Ben was a black kid from out here, from California. Mm-hmm. He taught himself echolocation because he had to have his eyes surgically removed at the age of 3. To keep him alive.
Like a dolphin.
Yes, like a dolphin. He would click and emit these clicks to, of course, produce the echo that would bounce off of, nearby objects. And so he apparently taught himself this skill. This is something that, is remarkable and crazy sounding. I had no idea this existed, but it turns out that human echolocation is a real thing.
Yeah,
so
wow.
Ben was absolutely incredible. He ended up passing away eventually at the age of 16 from the cancer.
Right.
But he was featured in a video, news footage from the local network out here that was just remarkable because, of course, they're showing him skateboarding, playing video games.
Yeah, playing video games with sound only. Like, these shooter games. And it's like, how are you, I think they ask him in the video, how are you able to know anything that you're doing? And he's like, the sounds have different voices, I think he said. Mm-hmm. And you see him walking down the street. Nope, there's a trash can. He's just clicking as he walks. Oh, there's a trash can right in front of me. I can tell. Walks right around it. I mean, it's like, you didn't even know the kid's blind. It's really, really incredible.
The thing that was so awesome, Brandon, and in the video, I thought it was so perfect when we saw it because, of course, you're sitting there watching this kid and you already are in amazement of him, right? But the thing that comes through very quickly, and in the video, it's like you got to ask yourself, like, did they really mean to put this in here? Because they're showing the kid's mom and she's like, yeah, I pretty much always told them, just believe in yourself, This isn't going to stop you, So it's starting to drive that message. The attitude is what, and then they show the doctor, right? Doctor who looked at him and he's like, yeah, this young man's attitude is remarkable. And I believe that's what makes all the difference.
Yeah.
The doctor actually said it.
Well, it invokes an energy of yes, I can. And when you invoke an energy of yes, I can, yes, you can. Henry Ford said it best. I always quote it because I love it. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And it's so true. And this, you take someone like this with such a challenge to just have optimism and this yes, I can attitude. And, you know, if this doesn't inspire you that you can accomplish way more than you ever thought possible. I mean, this, you got to see the video to fully appreciate how this kid navigates and lives in a way that he didn't let, I'm not going to let something as simple as, you know, having sights get in the way of me living a normal life. Like, okay, I hear you. Thank you. Thank you for being that example.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those sort of things that makes you go, or, you know, in the case of someone who may even be struggling with that sort of thing, a lot of times, again, we take things for granted, like, you know, so many of us enjoy health and sight, of course. And, you know, what do we do with it? Right. Whereas so many other people, and, you know, you see examples of both really, I suppose, out there, people who, you know, are easily defeated by their troubles and conditions, or those who, you know, choose to never give in the face of them. I've seen, you know, individuals, even in this area, there may be like, you know, gentleman who just like is, I guess, disabled, and he sits in a wheelchair and he wears a military jacket, but he sits out there like by the corner, you know, next to the Starbucks or whatever, sort of just sitting there. You know, I don't think he's asking for money, but at the same time, you know, you get the sense like this is a person who's, you know, seems pretty broken, really, right?
Right.
You know, just putting out that vibe. And again, you know, it's, I'm not trying to judge anyone for it, but that's one example of how, you know, it could go down, right? And then you have these people who are absolutely remarkable, these triathletes that are missing limbs, and then they go on competitions that I couldn't, participate in right now. And I'm healthy, supposedly. So, yeah.
Yep.
It really, you should never take anything for granted, and almost like the whole one of the four agreements that, of course, you know, had been brought up recently. Don't make assumptions. Never assume that you can't do anything or that someone else can't do something.
As my good friend Charlene puts it, your mentality is your reality. And I really love that statement that she coined. So
absolutely,
your mentality is definitely your reality. That's a good one. All right, everyone. Now I would like to welcome to the show the lovely Sue Krebs here to do the positive pondering breakdown of the day. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Brandon.
Welcome back. We have missed you here since last week.
Aw, thank you.
And of course, Sue, we have some synchronicity for today with your quote. Kind of a funny story. Yesterday, I sent Sue posted the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz on her page, which is Soul Speaking, by the way, on Facebook, if you guys would like to follow Sue. And I saw it and I was like, oh, right at the time we were putting out, Dalian was releasing our latest podcast interview with Barbara Emeris, who co-authored Don Miguel Ruiz's new book with him, The Toltec Art of Life and Death. You can find that. We just released it yesterday. And here Sue is posting The Four Agreements, his other, you know, huge best-selling book that he wrote years and years ago. But as soon as I saw it, I had to laugh. I was like, oh, Sue, of course, you're sharing this. And then you go on to tell me, yeah, well, I also have done the positive pondering for the week when I come on the show tomorrow is you know, from one of the Four Agreements. And so, yeah, there we go with some beautiful synchronicity yet again. We are definitely tuned into the same thing, apparently.
I love that. It's so funny. I mean, it just makes me giggle every time. It's kind of like, how is this going to work now? What's next?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, and we've given so much energy to synchronicities and so forth on the show. Now it's just a blast watching how they unfold. And sometimes they're really big ones, sometimes they're little ones. And, you know, there's no attachment to needing them or not needing them. We love them. We want to see more of them. Universe, wink, wink. But other than that, it's just like watching them naturally unfold. And then, of course, being able to share that magic with the listening audience. It's so fun to be in tune with the universe, with source, isn't it?
It is. And the cool thing is that it's sort of effortless. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not we're trying to make these things happen, because, you know, for the one we did last week, that was written a couple of days before. So it's almost been 2 weeks since I've written, because it was early and then late. And, you know, and it just keeps falling into place. And that is so
I know.
Too fun.
Too good. So we know we're doing the right thing, and there are people out there that this is going to hit perfectly at the right time, because you're, of course, tied in energetically to everything that's going on here. Your vibe attracts your tribe, and those of you that are listening are part of our tribe. And so this, I'm sure for very many of you, this is going to hit perfectly home today in some way. So without further ado, Sue, take us away and give us your positive pondering and breakdown.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. So the quote is, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. And that is by Don Miguel Ruiz. And my thoughts on that were this. As a firm believer in the efficacy of the law of attraction to create our experience, I have wrestled with this notion of not taking things personally, yet understanding that at some level, I've attracted the situation to me. How does one not take it personally when we're feeling attacked or violated? It doesn't get much more personal than that. Stepping back from assuming, inevitably wrongly, responsibility for others' actions has created space in my life to look at my part in these interactions. The truth is that I am not responsible for their actions, their choices, their words, none of it. The only thing I am responsible for is my reaction, my emotional response to that stimulus. And that's the part that I've attracted to me, a situation to generate a particular emotional response within myself. See, these things show up for us not as some form of judgment or retribution for past wrongdoings. They simply show up because they will create a particular emotional response. It is that which is active in our vibration, the energy of that emotion. So circumstances align to give us the opportunity to see, to simply see what is active within us. If we continue to respond as we've always responded, we will just continue to get more of those kinds of circumstances. Nothing personal about it, other than it is our personal response that calls it toward us. The details of who and what and where and when are somewhat irrelevant. If it wasn't this person or that friend creating the havoc that leaves us feeling used or taken for granted or whatever feeling is activated, it would simply be something or someone else. So the fact that dear Jane or son Sam has triggered something within us is more about us than it is about Jane or Sam. They are simply playing out a role that has been grandly orchestrated to reveal something about us to us. However, if we stay focused on the circumstance or situation itself, for example, the pain of feeling betrayed by someone's actions, we miss the bigger picture altogether, and thus we miss the opportunity to look at the fact that it is our emotional response that has brought this experience to us. Somewhere active within us is the energy of not being respected or something similar. Of course, we will end up being in a betrayal situation because somehow we are not honoring ourselves first. Let me illustrate with another example. Recently, I engaged in an argument with someone that escalated quickly to the point where we were both feeling defensive. This other person used words like, you always, or you never, and I could feel myself rising to the bait. Those words immediately triggered the feeling of being negated, unworthy, inconsequential. I know that this is my deepest wound, so of course that is the button that's going to get pushed, and in this case, quite rapidly. When I was able to step back from the argument, I realized again, rather quickly, that I am not inconsequential and that this is simply old programming of which I am working to rid myself. The fact that I recovered from this argument in record time and was able to ask for forgiveness from this person almost immediately was a huge sign of progress for me. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm definitely learning to own my part and let others own theirs. In the process of it all, I am letting go of the need to wallow and suffer in the erroneous beliefs that I do not matter. Quite to the contrary, I'm beginning to believe that I am really someone quite remarkable, and that's exactly where I want to go.
This one is so timely for my own life, too. It's so wonderful. Something that I've mentioned, you know, here and there over the last few weeks on the podcast, having certainly experienced some of these very deep feelings of betrayal, you know, in a certain situation in my personal life. and in actually being able to move through it and as a result, feel okay about it. And it's an interesting thing. And it's something that, of course, I'm always contemplating and trying to understand more and more of the nature of reality in this universe. And it is a very interesting kind of fine line between everything being a reflection and those people's actions being their own. Because, and I think you've described it really well here. It's like you're attracting someone who's on their own path. They are their own thing. They're their own person, but it's been attracted to you as in some sense as a reflection, because it's bringing out something in you that you need to work on. So if you always turn it away from them and back to you, oh, what is this triggering in me that I still am energetically charged about that I need to process and move through? And most people, so many people out in the world are just continuing to react with the same exact situation over and over. And they're like, why does this cycle keep coming? Because they're not realizing what the real work to be done is. It's not to prove the other person wrong. It's to make yourself better. And as you put it, I recovered quickly and I apologized and I accepted where I was responsible in it and dealt with that. How they deal with it, that's for them to, maybe they're not even thinking on that in that wavelength at all. And that's fine. You know, what's important is, you know, turning it to yourself and saying, what can I learn? How can I grow? This person is merely a prop in my movie.
Really. And that's the piece I've wrestled with, you know, and it was interesting because it sort of all kind of made sense that we don't attract the specifics. We attract the essence that generates the emotion. The universe orchestrates the specifics, you know, so whether right. It's this person or that person or what they say and do, that, like you said, that's their thing because they're doing their own dance. And the universe right. Just sort of, it's not magic, but it feels like magic. You know, it magically lines this up where somebody's got the same buttons that when we interact, it's going to push my buttons in just the right way that it will generate this feeling that I need to look at, like you've said. And yeah. And so it is. I've attracted that because this is a wound in me, or that's how I think of it. Something to release, something to heal, whatever you want to say, you know, and yeah. They just sort of line up. And if it wasn't them, it would be somebody else or something yep. else. So yep.
It is. It's yeah. so empowering when you start to realize this. I can think of the situations, you know, that I'm referencing that in my own personal life that I've been dealing with, you know, over the last weeks and months even. And it's kind of escalated. And the more it's escalated in the kind of betrayal sort of storyline, the more comical it kind of becomes to me. It's like, oh, well, this is just a character playing a role for me, actually. This is, you know, life is happening for me, not to me. And yeah. I move quickly into a state of appreciation and gratefulness. And you know, I think of how I would have reacted to the same situation months or years ago. And it's like there had been just anger and just furious anger and resentment and fighting. And I'm just finding, and not that it hasn't been you know, certainly trying in some ways, but I'm winning that battle with self, you know, and it's like a graduation of sorts that's happening. It's like, ah, you would have been so triggered by something this unjust at some point in your life. And now you just smile about it. It's like, oh, this is cute. Like, ah, you know, and it's kind of funny. And of course, yeah. That's what we're going to talk about here in a minute, you know, and the rest of the show is transmuting energy and so forth. But this is a great segue into it because that's exactly what you end up doing.
Yeah. And the piece of this quote, you know, the rest of this agreement that we didn't even really touch on is that idea of then it you won't be the victim of needless suffering. I mean, that's a whole pondering in itself, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote about that a little while ago or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, about pain versus suffering and how the suffering is always self-inflicted because right. We get stuck in these thoughts of I am powerless, I am helpless, I have no choice, life is happening to me, you know. Well, man, that just piles crap on top of you, you know, and it just yep. gets deeper really fast. Yeah. So when you can spin it like you're talking about and when you can see that, oh no, this is for me. This is working out so I can see this so that I can change this and I don't even have to do this later. You know, that, yeah. then I won't even go through this again after, you know, once you master this. It is totally empowering, and it eliminates the need for that wallowing and that suffering and that dragging this out, which, like you described, you know, with your situation, being angry and resentful and all that, you know, that does nothing to the other person involved.
Nothing. Like they say, the saying, you know, being angry is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we get so mad but it's only infecting us. So
exactly.
It's cool. Well, it's very cool.
It's very cool. And, you know, as I mentioned, I love seeing how your story and your personal account that you're giving here ties in so synchronistically, because obviously we're very energetically connected, or out of 7 billion people on the planet, we would not be sharing this experience together. And that in turn goes out to, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the people that are listening. These are our right. very close soul group, you know, soul family, as my forthcoming interview with Eben Alexander, he talks about his experience learning about soul groups and soulmates and soul families on the other side when he had his near-death experience. And it's such a true thing. And so now here we are together attracting those that are a part of this kind of this branch of source, right?
Right.
And we're all probably going through our own versions of this, and it's why this kind of topic has circled so many times, and, you know, why it's so important to revisit it and kind of talk about it in different ways from slightly different angles, because it's one of those things. This is not an easy one to overcome. It's a big one for all of us, but the good news, any of us listening or participating in this process are all right there doing it, because, you know, we're doing it, and that's congratulations to everyone listening. That's what I would say.
Exactly.
Well, Sue, thank you so much, as always. It's such a pleasure. I look forward every week to connecting with you like this, and I'll be anxiously awaiting talking to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, it is certainly my pleasure. Thank you, Sue. And that leads perfectly, the positive pondering of the day here with Sue leads perfectly into what I would like to talk about a little bit more, and that is taking this any negative emotion that arises in learning how to transmute it. Essentially, there's always some sort of a reason for whatever you're experiencing, like we just talked about. And when you can understand that there's a positive aspect to each emotion, every emotion there is that, you know, I always say the lump of coal is waiting to be turned into a diamond with you looking at it from the right angle. And when you can go into any sort of, I'm having a negative emotion, you just start looking within, and what is this bringing up in me? And where is the positive aspect arise? And, you know, we keep going back. This is something that we circle around a lot. And I know it must be something that a lot of you out there are struggling with, because you are connecting to this podcast. And it's something that I have been overcoming, and as I just talked about with Sue as well. And so there is a positive aspect to each negative emotion. And when you move into that heart center, you know, daily, and it makes me think of my first ayahuasca journey, you know, a year plus ago. And I was first thing that came up for me, of course, ayahuasca being the teacher, the amazing teacher that it is, it brings up whatever's blocking you, usually at first. And what happened with me was these deep-seated fears that I didn't really realize how much they were kind of holding me back. I always seemed kind of fearless, as I think of my mother always saying, you're just so fearless. It's like, yeah, externally, and it appears that way with a lot of, but deep within, there is some fear there in at times. And it came up, and, you know, in this, and I started having like kind of unrealistic thoughts about bad things happening and so forth. And I remember, you know, Pablo Miller, who you can actually hear my interview with, one of the first interviews, he's been doing ayahuasca journeys for 20 some years, and he is amazing. And I definitely recommend you guys to listen to that. Go back and listen to that podcast if you haven't, and you're curious about ayahuasca. It's some really great info and stories there. But I remember him coming over to me when he could see I was struggling a little bit, and I talked about this fear, and he said, you know, take that negative energy and move it into your heart. And we did this breathing exercise where I literally would picture like a string between my head and my heart and moving this energy down into my heart with the breath. So I encourage you all to practice this deep breathing. Whenever you're having negative emotions, you'll find you're having shallow breath and so forth. When you expand your breath, you expand what you can actually deal with instantly with a you just changed like the whole dynamic of what's happening in your physiology, spiritual, everything's changing. And then imagine moving into your, you always think of your center of gravity being in your head. We're all living from our heads. Move that into the heart. The heart is actually where you're more equipped to live from. And when you move these emotions into the heart knows how to deal with them much better. Fear is actually can be helpful, the right balance to be aware when you're out or, you know, whatever, not in an unhealthy way, but in an alert way, in a just commonsensical way. But when it gets twisted into, like it was happening for me in this case, into something really like overdrawn and all mind and thought and made up, move into the heart. If someone does something to you and it's causing a reaction in you, stop thinking about what they've done wrong and what is this bringing up into me. Then do close your eyes, breathe deeply, move your energy, your center of gravity into your heart, and you will start transmuting that same energy. You know, energy being neutral really by default. What we're doing with it determines whether it becomes positive or negative. So then you take this negative energy, and after a while, you don't recognize it because it's like heart alchemy, right? You've taken it and you've transmuted it into something totally different, and it becomes your way of dealing. Oh, I'm feeling those negative emotions. Let me move them into the heart. Let me transmute them. Oh, I just turned this, lump of iron ore into gold, right? And it's incredible. This is heart alchemy. You become heart centered. You start living from the heart, and this is how you process these emotions and move through them. And then it becomes like you're just this spiritual warrior that lives from the heart. And it becomes so natural to go there every time you need to. You live there. You're already there. If you fall out of it, no problem. You catch yourself. You go right back into that heart center. And breathing is a great tool along with visualization to do that.
Yeah, Brandon, it occurs to me that this whole process of alchemy or transmutation that you're speaking of really is perhaps an intrinsic quality of the heart. Because right now I'm also perhaps like you, just completely fascinated with everything to do with the heart, what it represents, its power. A couple of years ago, I saw a video from Drunvalu Melchizedek, who's a gentleman, you've heard of him. And, you know, some of our listeners may have heard of him. He's been out there for a long time writing books and, conducting workshops and whatnot. And I think he's made it perhaps the biggest part of his teaching over the last few years to address everything to do with heart manifestation. So having had my own personal big heart opening this year, I can see how that is just going to be, it seems like it is the perhaps the prime factor driving the awakening now, because the way I understand it is the human ego and the mind aren't necessarily the same thing, but I see the ego as having sort of co-opted the mind and basically said, this is how I'm going to survive. I'm going to be the cleverest, right? I'm going to try and figure it all out, right? So ego uses the mind, and both, at least in my understanding, together, they, you know, of course, tell us that that's who we are. So we convince ourselves that we are our ideas, our thoughts, our beliefs, right? Even if we don't see that, of course. But heart and this whole, you know, emotional energy, transmutation of energies, all of that bypasses the mind. It incorporates it, but it goes well beyond it too. It has its own sort of knowledge, its own intelligence, right?
Right.
And it's one that's much more connected, really. It's part of a much grander understanding. So again, you know, I think that no one can deny the, tremendous power of the human mind, right? Our intellect and our, you know, how we apply it, right?
Yeah.
But more and more people now are recognizing that if we made the mind subservient to the heart, the transformation that we would see is incredible. I think we're really sensing it.
Yeah, so, the heart, I would say, is a lot more closely connected with the soul, whereas the brain is more closely connected with the ego. Not that that's good or bad. I think the ego is great in its right place. The problem is it's overrun the ship, so to speak, and taken over the captain and push the soul into the background, which is really what's supposed to be steering. And that's where we've gotten out of balance as a society and individuals and so forth. And of course, that rebalancing, heart-centered balancing is really starting to take hold with more and more people. And we're seeing major change and we're only going to see more. And man, it's beautiful to be a part of it.
Right. No, it's funny because we also understand this at some level because we've seeded, the knowledge to ourselves, through like we've implanted these little ideas in, art and music and, everything, right? We get all these clues in our, movies and books and whatnot when we use expressions like, this kid's got so much heart, right? Yeah. We say that someone has a lot of heart and we value that. You know, the implication is that we understand somehow that that's, very crucial.
Yeah. Well, the Force is indeed awakening with the new Star Wars looming, coming out very shortly. Dalian, I know you won't be sleeping, so I won't even go into that because you'll take these guys down a rabbit hole of Star Wars nerdery that they never counted on.
Right. No, I'm consciously choosing not to go down that path because, exactly. I don't want to drive anyone crazy.
But the Force is awakening, and that is a beautiful thing. Well, everyone, that really, we're getting down to it. We're beyond our time we aim for, but there's no right or wrong. We just do what comes naturally. Time is an illusion, right? I hope you've all enjoyed this daily dose of soul food and daily remembering. We appreciate you as always. We're going to leave you with a great song, very relevant for what we've been talking about today by someone that I met recently. And name is Kinney. The artist's name, G. Kinney. So you can find his music at soundcloud.com/GKEN-E. G. Kinney. I think it's like the play on Kenny G, but backwards. And met this kid recently, and man, he just like shines his energy. And of course, I go and start listening to the music, and it's as he's got hashtag heartbeats next to it. And these are definitely some heartbeats, some heart alchemy indeed. And this particular track is called Transmute, very appropriately.
Sounds wonderful.
Otherwise, if you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes, since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting. Your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.
Today, I want to talk about how to transmute energies by using your heart center. You know, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what energy is coming to us or what energy we're utilizing at the moment, doesn't matter. There's always a reason why we're feeling that way. And by reason, I mean there's a positive aspect to each energy. There's a positive aspect to each emotion. There's a positive aspect to each of those different states of being. We come from our heart. No matter what, we transmute any energy that we're picking up on in its positive aspect. But as soon as I started coming from my heart, as soon as I started becoming heart-centered, then I started to utilize that energy in positive ways. It was energetic, you know. And then after a while, that energy, you don't even recognize it. Like, you're literally transmuting it into a totally different energy. As soon as I started becoming heart-centered, then I started to utilize that energy in positive ways. I was energetic, you know. And then after a while, that energy doesn't, you don't even recognize it anymore. It's like you're literally transmuting it into a totally different energy.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.